Election 2016.
Hello and welcome to today's Election 2016 constituency debate. Today, focusing on the newly combined constituency of Ayr and Michael. Over the next hour, we'll hear the candidates standing in this area debate the local and national issues they believe are the most important as they aim to convince the electorate to vote for them on September the 22nd. And as it now will be a two-seat constituency, it's worth remembering each voter will have two votes. Well, the candidates standing in Ayr and Michael are businessman Pat Ayres, commercial financial director Tim Baker, retiring member for Michael seeking re-election in the newly merged constituency Alfred Cannon, company director Alan Kermode, external relations officer Carlos Phillips, and quality and systems manager and regional charity coordinator Louise Whiteleg. Before we talk to them, though, first, here's John Moss with an overview of the newly combined constituency of Ayr and Michael.
So, Ayr and Michael, the blending of these two constituencies has produced in effect a super constituency, taking in much of the northern plain from Kirkmichael along the coast to the Point of Ayr, and then back along the east coast, skirting gingerly around Ramsey and then heading south. It is basically the two former constituencies melded together, so it is, in its nature, very rural. It contains the site where in 1079 the Manx, after rebutting Godred Crovan twice, fell victim to a sly plot in which he dispatched a force of men to hide behind the Manx until required, and then sally forth. The Manx were literally stabbed in the back. Something that some might claim has happened from time to time since then. That stated, Crovan's firm Viking rule set in stone the traditional form of parliament the island has enjoyed since then. The number of registered electors in this constituency, 4,858. The biggest pocket of population, Michael, 1,700 souls, though Andros isn't far off with 1,400. St. Michael, of course, led the forces of the Lord against evil. The battles for this small village include one against Speed, through the narrow high street, and against the battering of those natural forces against the sandy coast, a battle to which many areas, outside those bolstered by rock armour, are proving unequal. What's to be done? Protecting one area usually moves the problem to another area. Is some kind of armouring possible all the way along? Or indeed, some form of barricade just offshore to take the power out of the pounding of the storms? Hard by Kirkmichael, incidentally, on Cronk Early, is a site that may or may not have been an early site of the open-air Tynwald. To the north of the constituency, then, and the area of natural heathland, which for decades proved a useful place for the island to dump its refuse, the scars of that still remain to a degree. Also in the Bride area, the northern sewage scheme that takes Ramsey out of the flush-and-forget category. Other issues, health provision, with the hub at Jerby still needing to tick over at top speed. Does the Ramsey provision for health need stepping up? What else? Let's find out what the candidates have picked up on the doorstep.
John Moss. Well, now let's meet the candidates in alphabetical order. Each of them will have a maximum of 90 seconds to outline why they deserve one of your two votes on September the 22nd. Liberal Vannon candidate Pat Ayres can't be here today as he's off-island on a long-standing engagement. We offered him the chance to pre-record his piece, so we shall hear from him first.
Hi, I'm Patrick Ayres. People know me as Pat. I'm 61 years old. I live alone in Ramsey. I've been on the island for 13 years now, experienced in politics before I came here, and once I arrived I got interested in politics on the island, very interesting, met Peter Cameron and have been working with him for the past 10 to 12 years now. I'm standing for Ayres, or for Ayr and Michael shall I say, for the second time. Last time I stood for the Ayres in 2011, so people can remember me from that time. And they saw all my brochures and my leaflets and my manifesto of that then. This time you won't be getting any glossy sales brochures and leaflets from me. I'm just going on purely on reputation and hoping people can support me. And people that know me, respect me. People that don't know me will grow to respect me.
Liberal Vannon candidate Pat Ayres. Now the turn of Tim Baker.
Yep, 50 years of age, grew up on the Isle of Man, educated at Balsall Primary and Castlerushen High School, Cambridge University Economics degree, qualified chartered accountant, 25 years business experience, been a financial director of business up to 140 million turnover, most recently as group finance director at DLP in Snugborough, bringing in a blend of financial commercial skills and heavy involvement in the community. The reason I'm standing is that I think it's important where the Alaman is today that people with business and financial skills stand up and be counted, and those with a heart for the community are at the forefront of decision making. So I look forward to making a difference as a potential MHK for Aaron Michael. In terms of policies, I've got a coherent plan which is outlined in my manifesto, what I've called the Island Progress Plan, and it's based on some fundamental principles of sound economic management, the community and stewarding the island, so that we pass it on to future generations in the best shape possible.
Tim Baker, thank you. Now the turn of Alfred Cannon.
Good evening. I'm 48 years old, married with three children, and it has been my privilege to have served as MHK for Michael over the past 5 years. During that period, we have seen a government struggling to come to terms with the newfound realities of budget deficits, increased pressure on public services, particularly in healthcare, and spiralling costs of public sector pensions. Across government, there are real and meaningful challenges that can no longer be masked by an overgenerous VAT agreement. It is no longer acceptable to meet these challenges in isolation or by regular and continuous announcements of cuts and charges impacting on various sections of society, as has been the case. Instead, it is time that we offered Manx society a clear and precise integrated island plan to take us forward. A plan that starts with a comprehensive spending review that prioritises spending not on precedent, but according to the vision that we have for a modern, caring and prosperous society. A plan that ensures that we deliver basic services to a high level, that supports hardworking families and that creates job opportunities through focused support for local businesses to grow and develop. In my manifesto, I have outlined a number of specific measures needed to achieve these outcomes. I believe that we have the skills and abilities existing on the island to deliver this integrated plan, and that is why, in addition to those measures outlined in my manifesto, I am now proposing and supporting that we incorporate new advisory boards across economic development, infrastructure and healthcare that will allow us to deliver better outcomes for the island and its people.
Alfred Cannon, thank you. Alan Kermode is unfortunately ill. He's unable to join us today, but he does send his apologies. So now the turn of Carlos Phillips.
Fastamai, good evening. My name is Carlos. I'm 27 and the youngest candidate in this year's election. This election presents for every one of us a fresh start for our island, a new chapter. The choice we can make on the 22nd of September will determine our future, our tomorrow. I offer the chance to elect a new generation MHK. Yes, I understand there are tough times ahead, but I want to bring a fresh can-do perspective, enriching Timwell debates with a new voice. Now is the time to take stock. It isn't all bad. We have strong foundations, but change is needed, much needed. I've the head for policy with a first-class law degree. I've the heart for our parishes and villages. I attended Sorby School, was head boy at Ramsey Grammar. And I've the stomach for the challenges ahead, like Brexit, where I've worked and studied in Brussels. I'm Manx-born, Northern-raised, European-educated, and brave enough to step forward into the lion's den. With two votes, you can use one vote for maturity and one vote for youth and the promise of our island's next generation. Essentially, the best of both for Aaron Michael.
Carlos Phillips, thank you. And finally, Louise Whiteleg.
Thank you, Beth. I'm 38 years old and a chartered manager. I have a degree in environmental health. And I'm standing because I cannot sit by and watch the island I love fall apart. Things must change and I can help to be that change. I was brought up to believe that we are all equal, that with honesty and hard work we can all have equal opportunities to succeed. I believe that we should all have the ability to live full, fruitful lives, to have robust health and a chance of education, the opportunity to work, to play and to enjoy our family. I am standing because some of the decisions that have been made in the last 5 years are appalling, derisory and short-sighted, and it is not enough to talk about them from the sidelines. I have to take a stand. On the door, the voters tell me they're worried, not only for themselves but for their children's future and their grandchildren's future. The voters are worried that the opportunities are not there for them. There is little faith in Timwell to listen to the residents of the island at the moment, and there is despair at the waste of money, a lack of trust in the system, and the constant consultations and the indecisiveness of the MHKs. I am standing because I care. I cannot sit by and watch the island let its people fail. Our politicians need to be strong leaders. We need to re-engage with the island's residents. We need to listen and act on their concerns. MHKs must
Louise,
not...
thank you very thank much. You. Stop you there. Well, let's start this discussion this evening then by considering the local issues in Eyre and Michael. A new combined constituency, John Moss referred to it as a super constituency. It covers a great deal of the north. Alf Cannon, you have previously said you think the area would have been best served with one MHK each. If re-elected, how do you see the partnership between two members working?
Well, people are going to have to work together. Clearly, it's a big constituency. There's a lot of isolated hamlets within that constituency, and it's going to be important that people work together to achieve the best objectives possible for all the residents across the whole of Eyre and Michael.
Historically, a partnership has been seen to work quite well in other areas. If elected, Tim Baker, how closely would you be prepared to work with your fellow MHK?
Absolutely, completely joined up, both with the fellow MHK and the MHKs in the adjoining constituencies of Ramsey and Peel, which are both very influential in the constituency. And I'd also look to foster a far closer working relationship with the local commissioners in across the whole of the north of the island as well.
Louise Whiteleg?
We definitely, once the people are elected, the two people need to work together, and I think they need to play to the strengths as well. People will have different strengths in different areas, and I think that may be one way of managing the partnership.
Carlos Phillips?
I think I have a diplomatic disposition. I'm quite pragmatic, and I'd look forward to working with a partner. The Isle of Man has a consensus system, so in order to achieve change, we should work together and deliver it that way.
OK, well, on a local level, one of the key issues is coastal erosion. It's something I think the vast majority of you have mentioned in your manifestos. Is it, Louise Whiteleg, a problem that can be solved? Can you stop the sea?
Well, who can stop the sea? Nobody can stop the sea. We need to take a pragmatic look at what we actually can do. We need to have two approaches. What can we do now and what can we plan for? What we can do now is we can make sure that the planning in the area is controlled so it doesn't exacerbate the situation. And we can also look at the drainage and the drainage issues that they have coming off the land. You can take a walk up the beach, as I do with my dogs, and you can see that the amount of water running down off the land is also creating as much of a problem as the tide hitting the land.
Carlos Phillips, you're promising to assist people affected by erosion if you're elected, vowing to be proactive on this issue. How?
I would do that by, as I have done, researching pioneering coastal preservation methods. If we look to the Netherlands, you can see a lot of work has been going on research from the University of Groningen and Rotterdam points to possible solutions, and they have to be assessed for their suitability to the Eyre and Michael coasts. I don't claim to be an expert, but I do claim to be proactive and to be genuinely interested and to work together with the other MHK and commissioners in looking at the issue.
Tim Baker?
Yeah, absolutely. It has to be addressed. We can't just cross our fingers and hope it's going to go away, because it isn't going to go away as an issue. We can't, doing nothing isn't an option, so the thing has to be managed. That may be a combination of investment and also other management actions. And we need to address each of the issues. So we've got people's lives heavily affected, particularly in the Michael area, and houses that are getting nearer and nearer to the coast on an annual basis. We've got an issue around the tip, the old Wright's tip in the Ayres, which could be a major ecological issue if that's not correctly managed. And we're just investing a massive amount in the Balladoole water treatment works, which are only half a field away from the coast. So it has to be addressed, has to be a top priority.
So it needs to be a top priority, Alf Cannon, but what can be done about it?
Well, I think one of the things that can be done is that we've got to stop talking about it, because it's been going, there's been an endless stream now of reports and discussions on this matter going back, 25 years. And in fact, going back a century or so, plus even more, the problem's been existing. What we can see from what's happening in Kirkmichael is where the government has initially put some experimental stones down at the edge of Glenwill, and those stones have worked. What's happened is that because the job wasn't completed at the edge of Glenwill, and the tide's gone straight through and is increasing the erosion rate in that particular area of the coastline, in between the three sets of stones where they've been placed. I think the latest strategy that's come forward from government, which I was instrumental in contributing to in terms of actually forcing government to bring something to the table, the flooding and coastal erosion strategy, does give us some grounds for optimism. It does actually acknowledge that government is going to have to take some action to help the situation and stabilise the situation in Kirkmichael and protect people's properties and investments along the village coastline. The problem is that report was it fudged the issue about when that investment should take place, and it fudged the issue really around what that investment should be. Now we've been working over the last 5 years to get to the heart of this, and you know the general conclusion is that those rock revetments are the best solution for that coastline, and that we do need to start putting them in. We absolutely desperately need them around the edge of Glenwillan, and then we could roll them out to Ballira. We don't have to spend £10 million straight away, but you can do that incrementally over a 5 or 10 year period. But the important thing is we start to take action. Everybody across in villages across the UK where that's been threatened, action has been taken. We should be doing the same over here.
And that's clearly what people in the constituency want to see, isn't it? Now, let's just move on to medical facilities, because Tim Baker, you say the Jobie Hub, great idea, not one, though, that could be described as a success. It's a work in progress. If you're elected, how are you going to make it into a success?
Well, it's got to have more use, both from a medical point of view and from a community point of view. There's a community facility in there, which the people in Jobie that I've met as I've walked around are not accessing. To be honest, they don't seem to have the clarity on even how to actually use the facility. And government needs to make these facilities far easier to use.
How?
They've got to be more engaged, more open, more connected to the people who live in places like Jobie, where there are facilities. It's no good just having a layer of bureaucracy that people have to fight their way through, and a layer of fog around how you actually get to use these facilities. Government's got to get out there and treat people as their customers. They're the people that are paying the bill for government to be in existence, and there has to be a far greater treatment of the people.
Carlos Phillips, you want a new doctor surgery in Kirkmichael, but as Tim Baker is saying, Jobie's available, it's underused. Wouldn't it be cheaper to arrange transport for patients to Jobie rather than staff and build a new facility? We have to be realistic in these economic times about what
Absolutely.
You can afford.
I think government's resources are finite, I do understand that, but certainly provision for a doctor has been an issue close to the hearts of many people in Kirkmichael. I do not believe, though, it's about a shiny new multi-million pound building. It's about the service, not a new building. There is potential for potentially converting existing premises.
Still costs money, though.
Well, it will, but it's about delivering the best service we can closer to home. That's part of a future healthcare delivery strategy. If you look at Peel's expanded in a large way. There's strain on waiting times for treating doctors, and so we have to address these challenges as best we can.
Alf Cannon?
Well, a £1.8 million white elephant, basically, built in completely the wrong location, off the major bus routes. What should have happened was that we could have built two surgeries for that sort of money, one in Sulby, one in Kirkmichael, and we would have started to resolve the issues.
That's the problem, if I can just interrupt you there. That is the problem, and the public see this happen time and time again, and I think there is a general feeling of frustration in the public that after something is done, it's like, oh, we should have done it differently. It's too late.
Well, it may well be too. It's too late to stop the building of the surgery. What we need to be doing now is considering how best we should be delivering community healthcare. You know, we adopted that strategy of rolling out, as far as I understand, that community healthcare strategy about 5 years ago. And the idea is that we actually, the vision I see is that we build small community hubs now where people can easily access doctors and medical facilities. We relieve the pressure that's going in onto Nobles Hospital. We give people easier access to basic medical services, basic doctor appointments, checkups, etc. And that would be a far simpler way of doing it. As far as Jobie goes, well, we have a problem. We've still got to find some resolution out there. Now, either we've got to hand that over to the private sector and let them run it in terms of either giving it as some sort of medical facility, or we completely convert its use into some form of residential or housing.
Louise Whiteleg, what would your solution be?
The whole situation of GPs across the island needs looking at. My family live in Peel. And I know that the Peel surgery is completely overstretched. The GP provision across the whole of the island needs looking at.
It does, but we're talking about your constituency.
Yes, you've got the facilities in Jobie. What I don't understand is why that was used with Ramsey GP practice. It's symptomatic, the government doing half a job.
Absolutely. You know. But then what you're saying to voters is, if I'm elected, I will do what?
I would like to see a dedicated GP, its own GP practice up there. And one of the solutions in the short term may be that that has outreach in the different villages to get to people. But a new GP setup seems to be the logical solution to this problem.
Okay. But one of the reasons, Beth, if I can just come in here, I mean, one of the reasons why these sorts of issues are happening is because there is no integrated plan for government.
Well, we'll come to that in a moment.
And the people are not planning properly, and they're going off in isolation and doing things.
We will come to that in a moment.
On sort of what I would call vanity projects.
Louise Whiteleg, let's just move on to something else that's in your manifesto. You want to see a government department move to the north to stimulate business. Which one?
I do.
Which department?
I don't know, to be honest. And I don't think it particularly matters. It doesn't want to be one that they'll want to move to Siberia, as they'll see it. So it does need careful consideration. But I think it's really, really important for the government to show a commitment to the north of the island, to have more jobs in the area. I think it would kickstart investment and other businesses in the area.
Carlos Phillips, it's been one of your pledges that you will visit every business in your constituency if you are elected every year. How many businesses are there, do you know?
There are several businesses and they're very varied. They range from village shops through to bed and breakfasts, through to special small farm enterprises. And I think it's part of an MXK's job to proactively go around and speak to the different businesses and the different households. So it's something I'd want to do on an ongoing basis. It's not a set target or a pledge. It's about generally keeping that conversation going over the five-year term.
But you don't know exactly how many businesses there are that you would be pledging
to? I haven't got a breakdown list in front of me, but I certainly know a good deal of them and will pledge to learn more of them.
Tim Baker, what would you pledge to do to stimulate business in your constituency if you're elected?
The economic development needs to be focused outside Douglas and the south of the island. The north is a huge geographical area, as we're all experiencing as we canvass it. Derby, as an area, there's a huge amount of development space there. It's ideal for further development, both in terms of housing and businesses on the site that's there. To support that, you need to integrate improvements in public transport as well. So
all costs money, though, doesn't it?
Well, of course it does, but we're spending money every single day as an island and as a government. It's a question of spending it on the right things and stopping spending it on the wrong things.
So what are the wrong things, would you say?
There's an excessive amount of waste, far too much use of consultancy, far too much money going off island, vanity projects as Alf has indicated, gold-plated solutions.
Just give me an example of money going off island that is a waste.
Well, I'm aware, for example, on good authority of the DED commissioning off-island photographers because they didn't have an adequate portfolio of shots of the island to use in tourism. Now that is absolutely ridiculous.
How much do you think that cost?
I don't know how much it costs, but it's the principle. All you've got to do is look on Facebook. There's some phenomenal photographs of this island every single day. We've got to stop thinking that the Isle of Man's inferior to the UK and start believing and having a bit of pride in the shirt and say, we're really good as an island. There's so much talent out there. We need to start using it.
You're listening to Max Radio's Election 2016 Constituency Debate, which today is focusing on the new combined constituency of Eyre and Michael.
Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's Election 2016 Constituency Debate, which today is focusing on the new combined constituency of Eyre and Michael. Worth remembering, each voter in this new constituency has got two votes. There are six people standing for election. Liberal Valling candidate Pat Ayres was unable to join us today. He has a long-standing off-island engagement. And Alan Kermode is unfortunately ill and has sent his apologies. But in the studio are the other people hoping to win one of your votes on September the 22nd. Tim Baker, Alfred Cannon, Carlos Phillips and Louise Whiteleg. Let's broaden our focus now then. In the introduction, Alf Cannon, you talked about this integrated island plan. You say there needs to be a clear and definable government programme. What would be in it if you were in charge of that?
Well, you need to cover the key fundamentals. You need to define the vision for the island.
What is your vision then?
Well, I've outlined in my manifesto that what we should be seeking to create is a modern, caring and prosperous society. What we need to do to deliver that is, first of all, you have to find some like-minded MHKs to work together to deliver that programme. But secondly, and most importantly, you're effectively starting with a blank piece of paper. What we've got to do as a priority is stop spending on precedent, and we need to start looking at what we actually need to spend to deliver on that kind of vision.
With all due respect, can I just interrupt you there? Yeah. Because you have been part of the administration for the past 5 years. I mean, you're almost accusing that administration of spending on precedent. You were part of it.
Yeah, and for 5 years, I have told the government consistently and time again in internal debates that what we need is an integrated plan rather than this sort of silo mentality that we've got. I said that in a debate to the Chief Minister. My exact words or rough words were, if the Mayor of London can deliver an integrated plan for 7 million Londoners, we can deliver an integrated plan for 84,000 Islanders.
So okay, so where are we going wrong then? Is it time that we moved into party politics? Because we've clearly got 24 people, apart from a few who are members of party, who've got all their individual policies. The public can't truly get behind them, and it's just showing Tim Baker that nothing really can be done when you're doing this personal politics.
Well, I think the party political aspect is one consideration, but actually the key thing is getting the right people elected into the Keys. Whatever structure we've got, you need to get the best people that are available into the leadership team of the Isle of Man. And
but that's the problem, isn't it? This is a personality contest to a certain extent, the way that the elections are over here.
Well, no, I mean, everybody puts a manifesto out, and the electorate judge by what they read, what they see, what they hear. So it isn't a personality contest. The electorate should be looking at who do they think are the two people in this constituency and the 24 across the nation that they want to go in to represent the island, to give us the best chance of success for the challenges that we face. And to do that, you've got to have the best people standing, and then the electorate's got to choose who are going to be the best equipped to take the island forward.
But generally, you are still only one voice in 24, and it does rely on, as Alfakana said, getting like-minded MHKs along with you. Carlos Phillips, your views on this?
I think that Alf's mentioned an integrated plan, and Tim's mentioned an island progress plan, and it'll be up to the next Tim to when we vote with the next Chief Minister, to coalesce around his or her programme for government. And the last administration had the Agenda for Change, which has been much cited. And I think we'll need to pick out the best ideas from all the different constituencies and all the different manifestos and really see them included in the next Chief Minister's, Comin, Council of Ministers' programme for government and hold that to account. I mean, it is quite a short time to choose the next Chief Minister, whoever gets in, and so we need to ensure that their programme for government going forward really does have that potential to build and create the change we need to see.
Louise Whiteleg, you are vowing to do what you say you're going to do if you're elected.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is a bold claim. How
absolutely.
Exactly are you going to do
absolutely.
It
absolutely. But do you know something? It drives me absolutely crackers, because if you go on the government website, it's got all sorts of strategic plans, goals, objectives. The headline one for the whole government was it's going to protect the vulnerable, it's going to balance the books, it's going to promote economic growth. How is that tied in to the decisions that they've been making? We've got the Finlay without the medication that he needs. We've got the TV licences. We've got the elderly people being... How does that protect the vulnerable? So my vision is that we make these strategic documents work. We make these high goals and aims work by tying it into a priority budget.
Now, I'm struggling to understand how priority budgeting differs from what's actually happening now. I mean, health and education have been prioritised. I mean, you're talking about individual cases, which on the doorstep, I'm sure, are easy vote winners.
Well, I'm talking about a priority budget, which is a unique thing in itself. Every time any department asks for money, they need to say how it ties in with the strategic goals. They need to give you value for money. What's the value for pounds that you're going to get? They need to show transparency, they need to show accountability, they need to show how it's going to meet the social aims, the economic aims, the overall aims of the government. And that is how you bring the lovely, laudable aims that we have alive and in real terms happening within the government.
I still wonder how it means that you can promise to do exactly what you set out in your manifesto if you don't bring everybody else alongside with you.
It is a challenge and everybody's got to work together, but this is a marvellous opportunity. The old guard is stepping down. The circle's been broken. There's an opportunity. If people want change, they need to vote for change. They need to vote for progressive politicians who have a vision and also can indicate how they're going to make that vision a reality.
You're a progressive politician, Alf Cannon?
Well, I think the key thing is that rather than aspirations now, government has to deliver real outcomes mm-hmm. for people. That's why, you know, I'm saying that you know, the budget has to start from scratch, but it has to be targeted. That we have to be clear on what we're actually delivering. So, for example, when we're talking about spending in departments, I've said and suggested in my manifesto that what we need now to see from departments, big departments like the infrastructure department, is a rolling program, 12-month, 18-month program of where they're spending the money, what roads and improvements they intend to make on the island, when they will take place and what the cost. So we can start to see clearly and concisely where the money's being spent, more clearly and concisely where the money's being spent and whether we're getting value for money. But when you talk about delivering a whole plan, it is absolutely vital that we do so in a way that the public can understand it. It doesn't have to be complicated, and it's absolutely critical that everyone understands what government is doing to balance the books and what the requirements are from the public and what the impact is on their lives, because that's what's been going wrong in the last five mm-hmm. years. And this time we are going to have, I believe, the political will to bring together an integrated plan and to deliver that. And alongside that, be clear about what outcomes we're actually seeking, rather than just protecting the vulnerable or growing the economy.
Tim Baker, in your manifesto, you talk about a resource bank, a national ideas scheme, asking interested individuals to put forward their ideas and expertise for the good of the island. Going out on the doorstep, what reaction have you had to that idea?
I think people really positive about that. People want to be part of a successful Isle of Man. There's a pride in living here and being part of the community. There's people with so much talent, so diverse, and it's a criminal waste of resources that we're not tapping into it. We've got business leaders, we've got people with great academic careers, we've got all sorts of people who've done really amazing things in their lives, and they've got so much to give, but they're not being asked. The government isn't actually going out and actually proactively saying, we want to work with you to drive this island forward.
And what would be in it for these interested individuals?
Well, for a start, being part of making the Isle of Man great again, which most people who live here have a feel for the island. They live here because they want to, and most people want to make a contribution and to make a difference in my view.
Can I just say, Beth, some people say that government should be run like a business. I mean, in terms of efficiency, yes, that's a good goal. But I mean, as Louise has alluded to, I think it's also about people. It's about the human face. We need to care for our vulnerable. And really, if we can't look after the least well off, then that really isn't on government for the people, by the people.
Let's just bring that back down to the economics of it, though, Carlos Phillips, because it's, I mean, obviously, again, it's a great vote winner, isn't it? And I'm sure none of you would go out and say, oh, you know, I'm going to ignore people who are most in need. But let's talk money. We haven't got a finite pot of money. Carlos, you are promising bold, fresh, new ideas, particularly when it comes to generating and growing the economy. What are those ideas?
It's in terms of getting the island's message across, I think we need to look outward as well as inward. We need to be proactive in promoting the island. The island has a good message to sell, and it is being sold across the world and told, but we could do more and we should do more. I think I'll undertake to proactively promote the island on and off. Tirelessly and advocate for the island's businesses, seeking the employment and revenue we need to progress forward and deliver those services.
How would you advocate tirelessly? What exactly does that mean?
Attending certain key business events, certain conferences, being proactive, looking around, seeing where are those next key growth niche sectors which have delivered for the island in the past and would continue possibly to do so in the future.
Okay, Tim Baker, you're calling for astute policy making, especially as far as the economy is concerned, control of government spending. How would you translate that into action?
Well, I'm a chartered accountant who's been finance director of business up to 140 million turnover, so I've got a decent amount of experience in the basics of sound financial management. I've also got an economics degree from Cambridge University, and I think that the policies I'm seeing are we're ignoring wider economic issues in terms of things that we can control. So directing expenditure onto local suppliers rather than letting it go off island. That's consciously trying to stimulate the housing market, which is one of the key drivers of any economy. are just two very, very simple examples.
Well, let's just think about housing, because you'd like to see first-time buyers' schemes extended to include existing properties. You also suggest that government buy back houses that have been on the market for a long time, sell them when the market improves. Is that really the role of government? It seems a bit interventionist.
Well, the role of government is to get the best outcome for the Isle of Man, and it needs to do whatever it needs to do to achieve that. That was a suggestion. That's not intended to be prescriptive, but it's intended to get people thinking, because this is an area that's not even been debated anywhere. I mean, one other idea would be government issuing bonds to give people a reasonable rate of return on the savings, and then using those bonds to fund mortgages for people who are struggling to get finance to convert and improve dilapidated properties, for instance. It's thinking creatively, it's engaging and using the resources that are around us to actually not just accept what's happening right now, but to say there is a better outcome that we can get, provided we're looking at the bigger picture and trying to drive it through.
Alf Cannon, just thinking economy on that level, you want to see more job seekers getting back to work. Now, recruitment, it could be argued to be an area of expertise as far as you're concerned. What needs to happen then to do that?
Well, I think first of all, we've got to have the employment opportunities. So what's absolutely critical is that we are open for business and that we are supporting our companies in the most effective way possible.
Now, how would that
now
be?
Now, I have called for more clarity around the investment that we're making available to companies. I would like to see a more transparent business grant scheme that really identifies where we're lending for new business. We have a development grant for existing businesses and a relocation grant for businesses coming to the island. I would certainly think that we will have more transparency then in terms of how government is spending the £3 million that we're already spending. I think also we need to have a bit more scrutiny around the £50 million fund that's been made available for business investment. I'm not clear really what the parameters are around that at the moment, but it's absolutely vital that that's guided in completely the right way to ensure that we are organically growing our businesses. And that in turn will allow us to focus in as to how best we can get our job seekers back into the employment market. And it's absolutely vital that we are training and offering the right courses for people to come feed through that network and provide the support to some of our fantastic industries that we've got over here, particularly in the manufacturing sector, which seems to be a healthy sector and got plenty of growth potential in it.
Carlos Phillips.
It's also about attracting young talent back to the island shores as well. And I think some of us, our manifestos, have picked up on possibly incentivising young graduates to return.
So what's your idea then? What would incentivise graduates back here?
I think others have mentioned perhaps a relief on student loans. But particularly for me, I would say it goes beyond pure economics. It's about thinking about the socio-cultural offering that the island has in terms of the nighttime economy, creating the buzz that exists and can exist better on the island. Nice places to go and eat, to drink. The island has a great talent with the arts, with the creative arts and that sort of sector. We can do more in that regard. That would be welcome also.
You support, Carlos, university grants and further maintenance support for those in need. How do you envisage assessing that need?
I think that should be predominantly assessed in terms of need. Myself, I received a maintenance grant. My parents could no way have afforded to send me across to Europe without doing so. And I think that's a fair way to do it, to assess parental income, but also residency requirements as well.
There is a petition calling on the Isle of Man government to highlight inconsistencies in tuition fees for Manx students. And I think some very capable people are being priced out of higher education. What help then would you offer to people in that situation, Carlos?
If that is going on, it's something we need to look at and look at seriously. And the intention of these grants is to provide for the island's future, for our future success, and we need to really make sure that it does so.
Louise Whiteleg, you again want to see programmes to bring graduates back to the island introduced. I mean, mm-hmm. How would you see those working? What are you talking about exactly?
Well, I think probably through the tax mechanism is the most helpful way. We want to encourage graduates back, but we also want to encourage later graduates back when they've got experience as well. So I think we need to explore how we can do that through taxation with a view to the loans that they have.
You also want free education for those who leave school with less than 5 GCSEs, mm-hmm. and you want that up to the age of 21.
Yes.
I suppose we've got two questions about that. First of all, how would you pay for it?
Yes.
And how do you know they've really got any interest in education?
This is really referring to children who are vulnerable and children who are looked after children. At the moment, it's difficult for these children who, growing into young adults, aren't ready. They've had too much to cope with at home to be able to continue their education and finish the education the way they want to do. I know of quite a few people who have struggled to get over that gap. Trying to get them back into college before the 18 deadline for the free courses limits them. These young people, I know, would like to get back into education, but they're fighting on their own to support themselves. So it is a very specific thing.
Do you know how much your idea would cost? Have you looked at that side of it?
This is one of the interesting things standing for the election, is that you stood on the outside looking in. And I don't have all the information that I'd need to make.
So it's a bold claim. I mean, going back to your vowing to do what you say you're going to do.
Well, it's looking after the vulnerable people. I don't think we're talking vast, vast numbers on the island, but it is a significantly important thing for the people who we are talking about.
OK, let's look at some other issues. Brexit, of course, is going to be a key issue for the next administration to deal with. Let's keep our answers as brief as possible. Alf Cannon, how do we ensure that the Isle of Man gets the best deal?
I'll just come to that in a minute, but just very quickly, because I just didn't get a chance to come in on the graduate issue. One of the key things, we can't just bring graduates back if there's no job opportunity. So the key to getting graduates back is to develop the job opportunities and make sure that we're growing the businesses, and that will assist on that front. In terms of Brexit, look, I'm absolutely confident that the island has within its borders the skills, experience and ability within the business community to take us beyond Brexit and secure a bright future for us. Nobody actually knows what's going on with Brexit. The UK government doesn't appear to know what's going on. UK economists don't appear to know what's going on. I don't think you can expect the Isle of Man to know what's going on. But what we do have is a good external relations team. I've seen them in action. I believe that we've got some good strength there. We're on top of the Westminster communications. And we have to be confident about the future, and we have to look for the new opportunities, and the government has to provide the framework for our businesses
find those opportunities. I just want to offer this question to everybody else. Tim Baker, how much authority does the Isle of Man actually have in making sure it's in a good position when we didn't even have a vote on whether we should leave or not?
In terms of Brexit, we're very reliant on engagement and lobbying initially via the UK, and we've got to position ourselves to maximise that influence, but we've got to be coherent right from the top of Chief Minister, Council of Ministers, to work out what do we want as an island, where do we want to be, and then assess can we actually get there. And as choices open up, particularly if the UK's position changes, maybe Scottish independence, we play our hand accordingly.
Louise Whiteleg, you want an MHK tasked with handling Brexit. Can we afford to put such a resource into a matter which is ultimately out of our control?
Can we afford not to? We need somebody on the ball that is their main focus. And they're looking at it, they're risk assessing, they're looking, they're planning, they're looking in the corners of the room to see what could come up. We need someone who's got the ability to liaise with other places similar to ourselves, Jersey, Guernsey, etc., that are in a similar position.
And just finally on this, Carlos Phillips, you say you would fight for the best possible deal. You say you're well placed to do so, given your experience. How would you make that happen for us?
I would use all my experience and my training, which I have received over in the President's office in the European Parliament. I think the Chief Minister needs to have a panel of experts and advisory team close to him. The First Ministers of Wales and of Scotland have got a range of skills, these independent advisors, to talk to them, and I think we need to do something similar. Absolutely. I think this is a big issue and one that we can't really ignore. Jersey and Guernsey both have Ministers of External Relations. I don't know if we need one here also, but we certainly need to tackle it head on.
Well, we are approaching the end of this election 2016 constituency debate. Today we have been hearing from the people standing for the newly combined constituency of Ayr and Michael. Now, to close the programme, each contender has around 30 seconds just to reiterate why they deserve one of the electorate's two votes on September the 22nd. We're going to do this now in reverse alphabetical order, so we will start with Louise Whiteleg. Louise, why do people deserve your vote?
Well, we've all got a responsibility in shaping our island. No man is an island, and this woman isn't either. I'm standing because I want some of the decisions that have been made in the last 5 years are just, I can't stand by and do nothing. Our MHKs, we need strong leaders. Let's make our island a better place together. Don't just hope for change, vote for it.
Carlos Phillips, why should people vote for you?
Thanks, Beth. Well, I think, as I said at the start, really, everyone has two votes, and this is something new to us, and we have to consider using them both wisely. And my premise and offer to the voters is you can use that one vote for maturity, for experience, for life experience, and also use the other one for youth. And I am youthful, but I also do know quite a bit through my education and through my passion, and I hope to offer that, the best of both worlds.
Alan Kermode has been unable to join us today because he has been taken ill. He has sent his apologies. So now the turn of Alfred Cannon.
I offer the people of the constituency of Eyre and Michael the experience, acumen and ability to make a significant contribution to the future of the island and the constituency. It has been an honour and a privilege to have represented the people of Michael, and if re-elected, I pledge to continue to work hard for everyone in the new constituency, to stand up for local people and to be a strong voice in Tynwald for your concerns.
Alfred Cannon, thank you. Now, Tim Baker.
I'm passionate about the Isle of Man. I bring a fresh approach. I have a clear vision of what we need to do with my island progress plan. I'm committed to solutions for the Isle of Man coming from the Isle of Man. I make things happen. I'm politically independent. I've got over 25 years business experience. I'm experienced in guiding organisations through change. And I've already demonstrated my real commitment to the community of the North of the Island. And as an MHK, I can make a difference on a bigger scale and in different ways.
And finally, Liberal Vannon candidate Pat Ayres has been unable to join us today as he is off-island on a long-standing engagement, but he has pre-recorded this response for us.
Well, I believe with my political experience, I can walk into Tynwald, into the Keys, and I know where I am, what I'm doing and how the system works. People often say if they get elected to the Keys, they'll hit the ground running. Well, I think they're wrong, because you don't run into a burning building without knowing what's going on inside. I believe I'm the only one, apart from Alf Cannon, who is capable of doing that properly.
Thank you for listening to today's Election 2016 constituency debate. Just want to finish very quickly, just one sentence each. Louise Whiteleg, if you are elected, what is going to be your first priority?
Priority budgets.
OK. Carlos Phillips?
To choose the best individual as Chief Minister.
Alf Cannon?
I'll be seeking to work with others to get an integrated island plan together as quickly as possible.
And Tim Baker?
To get right to the heart of the decision making that's going to be required going forward.
Well, thank you for listening to today's Election 2016 constituency debate. We have been hearing from the candidates standing in the newly merged constituency of Eyre and Michael. They are seeking your vote on September the 22nd. Again, worth reiterating that every voter in that constituency now has two votes. The candidates were Pat Ayres, who is the Liberal Vannon candidate and was unable to join us because he is on a long-standing off-island engagement, Tim Baker, Alfred Cannon, Alan Kermode, who has been unable to join us because he was taken ill but has sent his apologies, Carlos Phillips and Louise Whiteleg. Tomorrow, Roger Watterson is going to be speaking to the candidates standing in Douglas Central. And don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the election news by clicking on the election section of the Manx Radio website. And this programme will be repeated at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Until next time then, goodbye.